You're listening to Real Relationships on JewishCoffeeHouse.com. I'm Mickey Lavin-Pell, marriage therapist and relationship coach, and my co-host today, Molly, is still off on holidays. So instead, I have with me once again, Zoe, her pseudonym.
Yes, it is my pseudonym.
Yeah, it's her pseudonym. And she's going to sing another song for us shortly. She's going to sing a song called The Search. But today we're going to talk about being single in Israel. And before she sings her song, she's going to tell us a little bit about the song. And then we'll go right into it.
Sababa. This song I wrote on Hanukkah. It was a bit of a work in process. Like, I had the melody down. I had a bit of the chorus down. And, like, it kind of all came together on Hanukkah. When I was kind of sitting in my dorm room.
Once again.
And like all my roommates, I live with Israelis. I've been living with Israelis for many years. And all my Israeli roommates had gone home and I was there. And I mean, I could have gone other places, but I didn't want to because I'm a very homebody person. I like my bed. I like my room. It kind of all came together when I was just like, I was really, 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 really lonely. And this is it. After years of feeling so alone, I felt like nobody cared for me at all. I looked around and found nowhere to turn. I felt like I was no one's concern. But ooh, all those people around me, yeah, ooh, was this how it's supposed to be? Ooh, I didn't belong. Ooh, I wanted a home. Yeah, 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 yeah. I felt like God was telling me to wait, 'cause all good things come with a little delay. But my patience won't thin. I wanted to begin to start the rest of my life like the rest of my kin. But ooh, all those people around me, yeah, ooh, was this how it's supposed to be? Ooh, I didn't belong. Ooh, I wanted a home. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Ooh, ooh, I took a breath and said, God knows best, and all this is just one big test. So now I'll close my eyes and wait to see how the rest of my life is paved for me. And do all those people around me, yeah, ooh, was this how it's supposed to be? Ooh, I didn't belong. Ooh, I wanted a home. Yeah, 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 yeah. Ooh, 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 ooh.
Excellent. So let's talk a little bit about being single in Israel.
All right.
It's interesting that you wrote the song in Israel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Over Hanukkah, you said.
It like kind of all fell together on Hanukkah.
Right. It's a hard time to be single. Kind of like Christmas in America.
I feel like any time, any holiday is a hard time to be single in Israel.
True.
I think it's hard to be single anywhere, especially in Israel, where everything is very family-like and people are very welcoming. Mm-hmm. I mean, people are always inviting you for Shabbat and always inviting you for Chagim, but it's never your own family.
Right.
And even when you are with your own family, it's also, there's kind of like this expectation. Like every time I go, like for the example, I one time went to visit my family in the States. I went over to someone whose daughter just got engaged and I said, Mazel Tov. And the girl who got engaged comes over to me and she says, oh, Mazel Tov. And I'm like, Mazel Tov to you. And she's like, well, didn't, what, Mazel Tov to you. Didn't you get engaged? And I'm like, no. I feel like, you know, like there's just expectations like, okay, you're living out of the house, you know, get your act together.
And do you think that that's something that's unique to Jewish life in Israel or something that, that exists in all Jewish
I think it's all Jews everywhere, yeah. everywhere.
yeah.
Everyone wants you to get married. And if you're not married, like, why don't you have a boyfriend yet? Why don't you have a, why aren't you married yet?
Right.
You're a wonderful girl.
But in terms of being in Israel, so how is that unique for you, do you think? Or how do you imagine that might be unique for you and your other single friends?
I don't know. I don't know what's really unique about it because I feel like everybody, like, it's a country full of Jewish people.
Right.
So, like, everybody is, like, you know.
So, everybody's looking out for you.
Yeah. Everyone's looking out for you, but you're kind of, like, still on your own.
Do you find that maybe when you're on the bus, you're just, I don't know if you do this. I randomly talk to lots of people. I'm just that way. And whether people sort of show interest in you, say, oh, I've got a nice uncle for you. I've got a nice brother for you. I've got a nice.
Not really.
That doesn't happen to you?
Not really, but I might have a very good extinguished face.
Meaning what?
Like a face, I don't know, like I'm not that open, I guess, I don't know. But I guess, I mean, but I've heard a lot of people have been asked, like, oh, like told, like, oh, I've got a brother's, uncle's, cousin's, son's, wife's, brother-in-law's brother.
Dog's owner.
Exactly. Who's a wonderful guy who also happens to be religious.
Right.
So.
So that might happen a little bit more here than maybe
in
Huslaritz.
Definitely.
And also in terms of just having, you know, your parents not here, what's that like?
I mean, I'm very independent. So, I mean, my parents are wonderful, but it's kind of, I feel like the big decisions in my life I have to go through by myself. I feel like my parents kind of feel like they're not as involved as they would be in the States. In the States, especially in the more from communities, the parents are extremely involved, reference checking, calling up people. And here I do reference check, but it's like me or I have other people doing it for me.
Right.
And it's more in my hands. I don't know if someone.
Do you like that?
I mean, I like that.
I think it
like
depends
that.
On the person.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a more responsible person, then that goes for you.
Exactly.
And if you're less responsible, then that's not going to be floating your boat so much.
Yeah.
And the whole issue of resumes, I know that's a big thing in Chutz La'aretz. That's not a big thing here, is it?
It's like chatzikoch.
Yeah.
Chatzikoch, because like you'll have like a profile and like they'll have it like in WhatsApp groups, but like oh, fill out like your profile shiduchim, and it's like, you know, like name, age, everything that you'd have in a shidduch profile. So it's like,
right.
I mean, it's kind of, but it's less official.
So if someone wants references, they'll just ask you for it. They're not going to start, you know, going through a piece of paper and stuff like that.
And they're not going to investigate you like the FBI.
Right. So it's a bit more chill here.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Well, that sounds like that's a good vote for people who are single making Aliyah.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Speaking of which, is there any advice that you'd like to give to the average person who maybe is single and looking to get married and considering the possibility of living here?
It's hard, but it's worth it. I mean, but be prepared to know that it's hard. I think just knowledge and like preparation that it's hard work living here and living here on your own. You don't have the support system that you would have in the States. So maybe that's another thing. Look for a community, which is very hard. And even me, I've been here for many years, finally getting together a community. But that's what I'd say.
So you're coming to Israel and you're not coming to Gan Eden.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
But it's worth it. It's worth it.
Excellent.
The best things in life are hard.
That's right. Now we're going to ask Zoe to sing another song. Is that okay?
Sure. This song I wrote because when you asked me like what I'm looking for, or if I ask myself, I have like this big picture and it's not concrete and it's not realistic.
Mm-hmm. Full of fantasy.
Yeah, pretty much it's full of fantasy. This was after about a year that I hadn't written any songs or any music and I was going through a dry phase and this is kind of what I came up with. My house of dreams is on a hill, surrounded by grass that's green. My house of dreams is under the sun and has a nice fresh breeze. If you look around, you see mountains and valleys below. Trees stand tall as branches sway, and flowers cover the landscape. It's funny how far I'll go to let my imagination roam. I'd leave behind all that is real to give myself the slight chance to feel. My house of dreams has a man who is happy when he sees me. We're good friends and we get along with loving kindness and sensitivity. My house of dreams has lots of kids who sing and dance, run around, laugh and play. Can come inside where it's safe and warm and feel peace after a long and hard day. It's funny how far I'll go to let my imagination roam. I'd leave behind all that is real to give myself the slight chance to feel. My feet are rooted firmly to the ground as my head is floating above the clouds. My dreams are running away from me as I drag them back to reality. My house of dreams isn't yet built, for now it seems far away. Maybe if I hope and pray, my house of dreams will be real one day.
Woo! Excellent.
Thank you.
That was an excellent song. I loved it.
Thank you.
Wow. That really gave me so much food for thought about the whole way that fantasy and reality kind of coexist.
Thank you.
Wow. So I'm just wondering, in your opinion, what role does fantasy play in building a reality?
I feel like it gives you direction.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of, you know, if you paint a picture in your mind, okay, this is what I want.
Yeah.
Then you have to figure out, okay, what are the steps that I take in order to get to that picture that I painted for myself?
It's funny because your fantasy sounds so realistic to me. It's not, it doesn't sound like this fanciful, I'm looking for this guy who's going to be doing skydiving and bungee jumping and scuba diving all in one day. It doesn't sound like that at all. It sounds like it's very, very much grounded in reality. And it sounds very much like it's, you've got your head and your shoulders in terms of what you're dreaming about.
I feel like a lot of times when people ask, what are you looking for? You know, you say good midos. But it's a very broad thing. Like good character traits. And you say, well, I want a guy who's nice and kind and generous, and I also want a guy who's like tall, dark, and handsome. And like people look at you like, why do you have such, you know, big expectations? Like, you want a guy who's nice and tall and dark and handsome. Why are you going so far off? And I feel like it's very, you know, at the end of the day, it's okay to want these things. These are like the basis of a good marriage. I also feel like in popular culture, when it comes to like all these songs about relationships, number one, there aren't that many songs about people waiting to be in a relationship. And also the songs about relationships are very, very much about like these humongous expectations, like, I'm never going to make you cry. I'm never going to let you fall. And it's like, of course you're going to make me cry. Like,
hopefully.
If we're going to have a...
It makes you feel connected. That means you have a real relationship.
Exactly. And I mean, hopefully he's not going to make you cry for like, you know, terrible reasons.
Betraying
but, like,
you.
Exactly. But like for regular, you know, of course.
Yeah.
And I kind of felt like when I wrote this song, like I had to like sing what I wanted, which was like, I want someone who's happy to see me. I mean, of course I want someone who's going to like sweep me off my feet, but I think that's, you know, something important and it's something to aspire to.
Absolutely. I love the fact that you're looking at the fact that most people haven't really thought too much about what they're looking forward to in a relationship. And they're mostly looking back. They're looking at the breakups and the heartaches and the pain and all that sort of stuff, but they're not looking forward to something. And that's a really beautiful difference about this song. And I think that that says a lot about the whole fantasy thing. When we fantasize, it's kind of like the beginning of creation, right?
Like
it's like
it's that's it's beautiful to me.
Yeah, it's like that little kernel that gets us started on the road towards creating something. Mm-hmm. And if we don't allow ourselves to dream and fantasize and build things up in our minds, then what are we going towards? We have to feel like we're going towards something. And I think that, like I've said in another episode, people don't allow themselves to hope and dream and think and feel mm-hmm. enough. And this whole thing about hoping and feeling and thinking and, yeah, fantasizing is that thing that really makes it come alive and makes us really, it gives us that roadmap that you're talking about. It gives us that roadmap towards building something. So that's really how we can, I guess, if you think about it, bridge the gap between fantasy and reality, is using the fantasy
to build the reality,
to make that reality, to know that you've arrived.
Yeah.
Right? Because so many times people say, oh, how do I know I found the one? You don't know that you found the one if you don't even have a picture of what this one is in your mind. And even when you've done that, I actually just listened to a clip by Esther Perel, who's also, she's a relationship therapist, and she's written many, many books. And she talks about how you don't really know, and it's always a journey as you're with a person. You're kind of building it up and, you know, sort of testing the whole thing out and feeling and experiencing and creating. And it's a very creative process. And I think that when people do see the whole dating and relationship process as a creative one that's full of fantasy and visuals and different things like that, you're making the reality on the way. It's one idea to have this architectural design that's fully mapped out before you go into it, and that's one way. But it's another idea to have some sort of loose plans that
then
you kind of
like see how it's going to fall into place.
Yeah.
But you've got like the end goal in mind.
Yeah. I like that. It's interesting because we just recently built our house. It's funny because the building engineer said to me, you know, you think building, it's all, you know, this concrete and stone and it's all these, you know, hard objects, and you think that you need to know every little thing. He says, but sometimes when you're on the ground, you have to make sudden adjustments because you don't know exactly how things are going to be in actual space. That was a real chiddush. I don't know how you say chiddush in English. That was a real
light bulb moment.
Yes, like a light bulb moment. Thank you for me. Because I just assumed that, you know, you've got these plans and they're concrete and they're hard and you can't deviate from those plans. But it's interesting to see that that's actually true with real concrete. So how much more so for something as amorphous as a relationship. So thank you once again for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, always great to have you. Once again, you're listening to Real Relationships. If you want to contact us, you can contact us on realrelationships@jewishcoffeehouse.com. And my website is www.mikilevinpill.co.il. Once again, you're listening to Real Relationships.
Subscribe to this and other great podcasts at jewishcoffeehouse.com. Real Relationships is a production of jewishcoffeehouse.com.